Welcome to the Short Term Show, the show about short-term rentals and long-term wealth, with real property owners hosting real properties who are crushing it in the vacation and short-term rental space. And here's your host, Avery Carl.
This episode of the Short Term Show is brought to you by The Short Term Shop. 30-year fixed mortgages, tax benefits, and long-distance management training made easy are just a few of the perks of owning a short-term rental. The Short-Term Shop can help you buy and learn how to manage your property from anywhere in the world. Just go to theshorttermshop.com and click Get Connected. Again, that's theshorttermshop.com, and we are brokered by eXp. See y'all over there. Hey guys, welcome back to another episode of The Short-Term Show. You guys ask a lot of questions about how to make more money off your short-term rentals. Lots of ways to do that, you know, revenue management, things like that. But our guest today, Joseph Woodbury, he is the CEO and founder of Neighbor, has a few other ways, like another scenario where you can make more money off your short-term rentals and your long-term rentals for that matter. But I'll let him explain that. How's it going, Joseph?
Good. How are you doing?
I am doing awesome. Sorry, guys, I'm still a little sick sounding, just like last week. So sorry about that. But Joseph, you've got a really cool concept here that I want to hear all about, and our listeners are going to be excited to hear about. But first, will you tell us a little bit about yourself and your background?
Sure. Yeah. So we started Neighbor about 6 or 7 years ago now. And it really started when we had the need ourselves. My co-founder needed storage. He couldn't find any storage options close by to him. And he looked into getting a storage unit, and they were incredibly expensive. So he ended up storing it with a friend in their garage. And he had such a good experience. He just thought, why doesn't everyone do this? It was more affordable. It was closer to my home. I was able to save a lot of money. There's got to be empty space in every neighborhood in the country. Why doesn't the money we pay for storage go to these people that own property instead of some storage facility on the outskirts of town? So that's where we got started. And just an overview of where we come, we've grown that to almost every city in all 50 states. I think we're the only storage operator now in all 50 states in the country.
Wow. Okay. So, I mean, every single state, all 50 states.
Yeah. Almost every city in all 50 states. Yeah.
Jeez. That's a big company. Congratulations.
Well, it resonates with people. People are looking for ways to earn passive income. Mm-hmm. And storage is one of those, you know, if you look at the gig economy, a lot of them require a decent amount of work. You go drive around for Uber, or you drive around for DoorDash or Instacart. Those are kind of full-time jobs. I think the beauty of Airbnb was there came along this platform where I can own property and that property can work for me and I can have a day job. I don't have to spend my time on the Airbnb. Now, Airbnb's other short-term rentals still require a decent amount of maintenance, right? Your guests mm-hmm. are coming and going. They're short-term by nature and, you know, often work with a management company. Storage just takes that concept that Airbnb pioneered just one step further, where you can have someone's boat sitting on the side of your garage in your RV pad, and you're doing literally no work for months and months on end, and it's just depositing into your account. So I think that's why it's grown so quickly, is just because of how passive it is.
Yeah, that is pretty passive. So it could be any covered or uncovered part of your property. So like just uncovered driveway space.
That's right.
Oh.
Yeah, if you think about it, you know, someone may buy a camper trailer or have an extra car or have a boat, and they don't have space to put it at their house, but they look across the street and their neighbor's got a big RV pad and they don't own a boat. So why not just go put it right across the street? It's a pain in the butt to have it halfway across town in some storage facility when you could just have it in your neighborhood. Short-term rentals, this is especially pertinent too, because the people coming to stay, they're not using typically those parts of the property. Mm-hmm. You know, if there's a shed in the back, person staying for a few days is using that shed. There's often an extra garage stall or, again, part of that house. And that can be earning money even when there's no tenants in the actual space.
Yeah, that's really interesting and timely for me because I've been kind of shopping for a new short-term rental in a market where there's a lot of detached garages. So, you know, in an attached garage, I might just let our guests use that. But if it's detached and, you know, way over there, it might make sense to just, you know, the guests probably not going to go park their car over there and then walk up. They're probably just going to walk, park right in front of a house and walk up. So that is, and I've been looking like, what can I do with a detached garage at this short-term rental? So that's really smart. So how do people find this? How does the marketplace work? So do I say, oh, look, I've got this detached garage that I want to make some extra money on, go list it with you guys. And then somebody finds it almost like on a platform like Airbnb and they just book it. Is that how that works?
Yeah, it's almost identical to the experience you're going to get on a VRBO or an Airbnb where you go on and we're going to walk you through a listing creation process where we're going to ask questions about your space. It takes about 10 minutes, maybe 15. And we're going to, of course, do all the security measures. We're going to ID verify you. We're going to have you upload photos of the space. Is it climate controlled? What price do you want to set? You, of course, are in control of what price you want to charge. We will provide recommendations. We have a smart pricing tools just like Airbnb does. And then once you list that on the platform, we find you renters. And those renters tend to be longer term renters and it's more stable. You know, you're going to get the same amount every month. One thing, you know, when you think about the economics, maybe the mortgage on a property is $2,000 a month and you're earning $2,300 a month. So your net profit there is about $300 a month. Now you add neighbor to the property and you just doubled your net on that property because it's just, it comes with no cost. It's just straight to the bottom line.
This is a really cool idea. So you might not be able to tell me this because different markets are going to be so subjective, but you know, if you've just got like a regular two-car garage that you're going to rent out, I mean, what kind of numbers do you actually see for this? Like $6 a day or like $200 a month or, you know, does that look like?
Yeah. So you're right that it's going to vary by market and our tools will help you. But I'll give some examples. If you're listing a space, you know, a two-car garage in New York, then you can earn close to $1,000 a month on that. If you're listing that in Utah, two-car garage is going to go, you know, around $300 a month. And then we'll have people invest in this as well. Sometimes with a larger property, they'll add, you know, multiple sheds because one will lease up and start earning money. And then they realize they can buy a shed and have that shed paid off and just earning profit within a matter of months. We even have investors that they start using us on the properties they already own, and then they start investing into this. Because if you think about the economics in Utah, I'll use Utah examples since we're based out of Utah. If you have $500,000 to invest, that buys you about a townhome in Utah. And you could rent that townhome for somewhere between $25,000 to $30,000 a year if you're doing long-term rentals. If you were to do short-term rental on that property, now you push it up maybe $35,000, $40,000 a year. But if you were to take that same $500,000, that could buy you somewhere between an acre to an acre and a half to maybe 2 acres in the right location of land. And if you were to rent that out for vehicle storage on our platform, you'd be earning $100,000 a year. So if you think about the yield, we'll get folks that use us on their short-term rentals. They get used to the platform, they start earning money, and then they start buying properties just purely for this because they can yield more against their investment.
Are there any kind of rules? This is my next question. Like, are there any kind of rules about what you can put on these properties? So if you get an acre for vehicle storage, are they just out in the elements or are you putting little carports or what are we doing?
Yeah. So it's all going to affect your price. Just like, you know, I'm kind of an economical person. So when I'm flying out to San Francisco, I'm looking for the cheapest Airbnb. When I travel with my family, I'm going to stay in a nicer Airbnb. But when I travel myself, I'm going to stay in like the spare bedroom of someone's place because it's cheaper and it's, you know, $80 a night or $100 a night in San Francisco, which is great, cheaper than any hotel you can get. And that's the same thing on our platform. You're going to have, I mean, we've got people renting out third car garages in Beverly Hills for their neighbor to store their, you know, vintage Porsche. And those are going to go for a higher rate. They're enclosed. It's often climate controlled in there. And then we have people renting out lots that they've laid down gravel, and it's just to park campers, and they have 10 campers on it. And those are going to go for a lower rate. So you can literally list any space you'd like to. Your listing does have to meet our quality standards. A human reviews every listing published on our platform to maintain those high quality standards, but there's no prejudice against space type.
Okay. And do you know, I mean, I guess you would have to follow whatever your local regulations are, but does this get around some of the like zoning and permitting things you would have to, like, if different than if you were going to go build a self-storage place? Right. Okay.
Yeah. Again, it's going to come down to primary use, right? So this isn't, you don't have to worry about self-storage zoning in most locations because this isn't the primary use of the property. It's kind of a secondary use. You as a homeowner today could go rent your RV pad out to your neighbor. This we didn't invent this concept. We just systemized it and scaled it. But people have been letting their brother or their dad or their friend park their trailer next to their house for a long time, or store some extra items in their garage. That happens all the time. We just created a way to monetize that. So yeah, it's the regulatory environment is much more relaxed. We like to say we often kind of comment here at Neighbor that Airbnb is in the business of storing people. And it turns out there's a lot more regulation around people. If you're Uber and you're transporting people, or if you're Airbnb and people are sleeping, the regulation goes way up. For storage, local municipalities, they don't care as much about you having some extra items in your house. In fact, we've even heard from some that there's a lot of cities cracking down on short-term rentals right now, which I think is crazy that these cities do this. But it's just the reality, right? Cities more and more. And some of these short-term rental owners are just left on the hook. Now they've got this mortgage. They can't rent out their property. They're in a real bad position, but they can rent it out for neighbor. And that may help them in the short term until they figure out another use for that property, especially with the rental market being soft right now. Rents are coming down for long-term rentals. And so this is a way to bridge the gap and pay the mortgage for those people.
This episode is brought to you by Short-Term Rental Listing Advice. Join this Facebook group and post your listing to get advice from other hosts, including myself, on how you can improve your listing. Or just post your property so you can show off. Join us at strlistingadvice.com. That's strlistingadvice.com. Do you want to get more out of your short-term rental? Purchase your next vacation rental using the Short-Term Shop and gain access to our free weekly mastermind, the Management Monday Mastermind. Each week we cover different topics and have industry experts presenting content for your enjoyment and success. If you're not already a client, start your journey at theshorttermshop.com and join us every Monday for our free client-only mastermind, theshorttermshop.com.
My mind can't help but wander in terms of, does anybody ever want to store anything in someone else's property that is maybe not the best thing to be found on your property? And what happens when they do that, whether it's dead bodies, drugs, stolen stuff, like... That's what I'm always like, want to know the craziest thing. So tell me a little bit about that. Have you ever run into that? Have you ever run into people storing dead bodies on people's properties, or you
so,
have?
So just like Airbnb, where you want high quality guests coming into your place that aren't going to like trash the place. Right.
Right.
Similarly on Neighbor, you know, our hosts want the same thing. So first and foremost, there's a number of items that are just prohibited. Like we don't even allow, even if the host wants to allow this, we don't allow the storage of firearms, of, you know, cash or jewelry, things like that. any sort of perishable item, that's just prohibited from the platform. And then further, you as a host can set restrictions. So we actually work with all types of hosts. I've talked a lot about our residential hosts, but we work with even commercial hosts as well. We have several of the largest multifamily REITs in the country that have listed space in cities all over the country on our platform. Oh. And oftentimes if they're in downtown DC, they only want certain types of like vehicles coming and parking at their multifamily parking lot. So we have the ability to set restrictions. Like, I only want to accept sedans. I don't want to accept boats or whatever. So you can set those restrictions. And then the third thing is the renter actually has to fill out a list of everything that they're storing. And that is sent to you as the host, and you have a chance to approve or deny that list. So one host may be comfortable with someone storing construction equipment in their garage. Most hosts are not going to want to do that. So they can review that list and say, you know what, that's not for me. I want someone's boxes of clothing. I don't want someone's tools. And they can reject that.
Okay. Because my mind just goes straight to, I don't want it on my property, so let me put this dead body on somebody else's property.
There's a level of self-selection there as well. You know, if you have something undesirable to store, why come use neighbor where you're going to be storing it in a person's place that's going to be inspecting it? You have to submit a list. Why not go store it in a storage facility where you're going to get handed a key and no one's going to ask any questions, and that's your own personal space? So bad actors, I think, tend to not have to worry about stuff like that. And it just doesn't occur on our platform because there's this little self-selection of, it's just easier to go get a storage in.
Not as anonymous.
Right.
Got it. Okay. So this is all very interesting. What would you say is like the most lucrative type of storage space? Would you say it's the heated and cooled garage space, or, you know, you said what kind of intrigued me was people going and buying like an acre and putting gravel down and having, you know, people store cars there. But I mean, if you're going to invest, buy something like this to actually invest instead of just adding income to other things, which thing do you recommend?
Yeah. So certainly you're going to yield the most price per square foot for those nice enclosed garages. Now, if you're looking to scale this and become, you know, what we call a power host, we'll have people start, they may earn, you know, $3,000 to $5,000 a year or something like that, because they're just a residential homeowner and this is side income for them. But then some people will kind of get addicted to the income and they'll scale up to earning, you know, $150,000 a year on the platform. And that's typically done through what you talked about, which is a lot where you're either paving it, putting nice gravel down. Part of it may be open air. Part of it is often going to be like carports put on it, covered parking, a fence around it. So if you want to turn this into a kind of a power host style business where you buy properties in multiple cities, that would be our recommendation, is to buy purpose lots, and then we can fill them very quickly for you.
You know, there's a small, I don't know if you guys do this, but around here, so I live at the beach and there's a few little neighborhoods that are on canals that all have boat slips. Like, my grandmother has one that has three deep water boat slips, but you know, she's 95 and is not boating. And you can rent those for quite a bit. I don't know the exact amount, but that's kind of where my mind went when you were talking about this, that might be a new. Do you guys do that? Do you guys do the boat slip thing, or just boat storage?
We do a lot of boat storage. The vast majority of it is going to be dry storage. And the reason that's beneficial is, you know, it's on a trailer. It can be easily removed. One of the benefits of our platform is it's all month to month. So you as the host, you can, with 30 days notice, you can have those items off the property. So if you need to sell the property, if you need to, if you just want to use that space for another purpose, you can actually have your renters out in 30 days. And we don't have to deal with, you know, I read these stories, these kind of horror stories about short-term rental owners in places like California, where someone ends up staying like squatters.
Yeah.
And due to eviction laws, you can't get them out for 6 months or longer. Storage doesn't work that way. So storage, you can get people out much quicker. There's kind of established regulatory procedures where if someone, whatever, you can actually auction the items. We handle that whole process for our hosts. We do something really cool where we have this payment guarantee where if the renter stops paying us for whatever reason, we actually still pay you as the host. So we cover those payments and we take care of the process to get their items out of the space.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah.
Because nobody wants to deal with trying to get people out. You know, that's like probably the least fun part of any kind of people storage or other item storage is
right.
Getting people out. So that's nice. That's awesome. Well, is there anything else that we haven't covered, maybe that I haven't asked about Neighbor that you feel like our listeners would benefit from hearing?
Well, I'd say we're called Neighbor for a reason. And that is because we're kind of the first hyper-local marketplace. You know, your tenants in an Airbnb, they're often coming from another city. They're staying there. You may never see them or talk to them again. Neighbor is really cool in that your tenant is someone that lives close by. They want to store as close to them as possible. And it's this really fun way that communities come together and you're serving someone in your local community. That's why we called it Neighbor. We've had, you know, this won't apply as much to a short-term rental where you may not be at the property or even managing the property, but we've had some of our residential users that they live two doors down from each other. They've never really said hi to each other, but then they store with each other and it's almost a relationship built. We've had people that now they go to lunch every Thursday or every other Thursday because they've kind of built a relationship. So I love that hyperlocal aspect to it. You're really serving someone in your community. I think that's the reason cities like this as well is it's not bringing in people from the outside. It's solving a need that needed to be solved anyway in that community. And instead of your money going to some big storage corporation, it's going, most of those funds are going to someone in the community.
Yeah, I love that. I love the community building aspect of it.
Yeah.
Okay, Joseph. So we're running out of time. We are to the last three questions of the podcast. We ask these to everyone. And the first one is, what advice would you give 20-year-old Joseph?
Oh, man. I would have said, you know, I was very focused as 20-year-old on kind of prestigious jobs. You know, I was on the investment banking and private equity. I ended up in consulting at Bain & Company. And I've learned so much more running a startup. It just throws you in. I mean, it is hard, right? Especially in those early years when you're building and expanding. And you just get so much more out of doing something that no one's done before, where you're just having to figure things out on a daily basis.
All right. Good advice. And next advice is a little more about investing. So what advice would you give a new investor who's looking to get started today?
We use this term full property monetization. And I think traditionally investors have thought about their properties as like, oh, I'm in a certain asset class. So we work with large owners of office, large owners of retail, large owners of multifamily, and of course, residential, where traditionally they've thought how I monetize this property is office. What I think the new generation of operators are doing, the more creative ones, the ones that are earning the highest yield, is they're realizing, I don't care about asset class. I own a property and I want to earn as much yield off of that property as I possibly can, which often means combining asset classes. You'll get people sometimes that are like, I have a friend that is in storage and he's crushing it. And I want to get into that as well. It's like, you don't have to buy a storage facility to do that. You can use your property to take advantage of the tailwinds in another industry. And we encourage people to have multiple sources of income, not just Neighbor, but multiple sources of income off their property.
All right. That's great advice too. And last question, what's your favorite book that's impacted your mindset?
There's a book called, this is not a business book, but there's a book called With Malice Toward None. It's my favorite Abraham Lincoln biography. And it's just a masterclass in leadership. It's helped me as I've evolved as a company leader. And I recommend it to everyone.
All right. I have not read that one, and I don't think anyone's recommended that on here yet either.
Yeah.
All right, Joseph, well, thank you so much for coming on. If our listeners want to find you guys, maybe sign up, follow you on social media, how do they do that?
Made it as easy as possible. We're neighbor.com. We're basically the top ranked storage app on the App Store as well. If you search boat storage or self storage or whatever you want to. And you can also, we have dedicated pages. If you're an investor and you want to expand this, you can reach out to our business development team and they can help you get set up with PowerHost tools and so forth.
All right. Well, thanks so much again for coming on. This is a really cool episode.
Yeah. Thanks for having me.